So this is the title of my podcast, Justice Unraveled. My name is Luis Armando Arias. I'm an assistant professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice and Security Studies. I graduated from UTEP in 1977 with a degree in political science. I'm retired from the FBI as a supervisory intelligence analyst. The way I use my moral dilemmas is it extracts from the student their logic, how they think, having been socialized through family, friends, school, and so what's their value system to help them decipher this moral dilemma. Generally speaking, what moral dilemmas do is that we are confronted every day on having to choose right from wrong.
There's more reasons to not use torture, but I do think it was a controversial scenario.
I think it depends on the government structure too.
I just don't think it's right. We have a right way of doing things. We have what's called the due process of law.
We would be breaking the law at the expense of somebody's life.
I was asking myself, should law always be followed, even when it leads to seemingly immoral results?
That would be someone's family, maybe someone's brother, someone's sister, mother, getting put to death.
Anybody would do anything to survive.
A woman you know has robbed a bank, but instead of keeping the money, she has given it to an orphanage so that it can afford to feed, clothe, and care for children in need. The police have come to ask you if you know who committed the crime. You can tell them who did it, but if you do, there is a good chance the woman will be caught, all the money will be returned to the bank, and the orphanage will be forced to close. What should you do? An extension question is the following. What if the woman had instead stolen from just one individual rich person? Based on the moral dilemma, what crimes would you say, would you identify in that moral dilemma?
I would say that one of the crimes, I guess the main crime, would be the robbery of a bank. I'm not sure if intruding into the bank would be another one, though it is a public space.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if where that would fall, as well as, I guess, giving the money away to another organization. I think those are the only crimes that I can think of right now.
Okay. Let's take the first one, the one that you think is the principal crime committed, and you mentioned robbery. If you had to define, how would you describe it? How would you define it?
I guess I would define the term as the taking of a belonging that doesn't belong to you from someone else or something else.
If, for example, I did it in front of you, put a gun to a person, a clerk of a bank, like maybe in this scenario, and told her, give me all the money, is that robbery or is that theft or is that both?
Well, that's a good question. I think it would be a mixture of both.
Okay.
If I recall my terms correctly.
Does robbery, do you think it requires the putting of fear in someone that property is going to be taken away from them? Would that sort of be robbery for you as a definition?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, very good. Getting into this moral dilemma a little bit and going future with these moral dilemmas, I wondered if you could share with us both what you think, are there moral dilemmas or moral implications in the dilemma? And are there legal implications in this scenario that I gave you?
I think it's both a moral dilemma and a legal dilemma. It's more so on the moral side. What would you do based on your beliefs, based on your morals? But it's also a legal implication. This does mess with the law. The law has been broken. And essentially, you're in the middle of it, so.
And so you mentioned about, you know, what is doing right, what is the ethical thing to do. Where does a person establish getting their morals? How does one attain doing the right thing?
Well, in my experience, my parents, it's how I grew up, how I was raised. So a lot of what I know and a lot of how what my thought process is based off what my parents taught me. And also my faith. So a lot of my beliefs and my morals do come from my faith.
So based on your morals deriving from your parents, your faith, is the taking of money from a bank against that person's will, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing in my perspective.
Would you agree in the scenario, are there two individuals that might have both moral and legal implications, or did you just see one person?
I saw two individuals.
Okay.
The woman who is committing the robbery and essentially donates the money, as well as whoever is running the orphanage.
Okay, that's one that I did not think about, and that's good. What about the person who is asked by police, do you know who robbed the bank? Could that be a third person, possibly?
Right, yes, definitely.
So in this scenario, if I were to use the terminology, do the ends justify the means? The ends are the woman robs a bank and takes the money not for herself, but gives it to an orphanage that is struggling financially.
Yes. I think in this case, though the ends, it is for a good cause. It is, I think a lot of us would see it as something maybe commendable, you know, giving money to an orphanage. I don't think that her means justify her actions, simply because she is breaking the law, but as well as I can't help but think of the money. The money doesn't necessarily belong to the bank. That money belongs to individuals, and a lot of those individuals could have lost that money.
If I can come back to the other person, not the person who runs the orphanage, but rather in the scenario, it says the police have come to ask you if you know who committed the crime. Is there a moral and or legal issue involved with that person?
I think the person does have a moral obligation, simply, well, based on their beliefs, if they believe that what was done is correct. But also in maybe not saying anything, if the person knows the woman on a more intimate level, say as friends, would loyalty be called into question? And as well as for the legal side, I think that we as citizens do have the obligation to report crimes or that we are aware of, because they could become something bigger. So I do think there is also a legal obligation there.
If that person knew who committed the crime but held back on what is otherwise material information when asked by the police, do you think that that person could be held accountable for deceiving or maybe lying to police? Mm-hmm.
I think they could if the case does, the investigation does show that it was this woman and that in this case I or the person didn't know of the fact that the woman had stolen money. I think there would be some legal repercussions. I don't think they would be maybe severe, but there definitely would be something.
So the person that's being questioned, if they know who the person who committed the crime is. So if that person were to not say anything, the orphanage would survive.
Yes.
If the person did say something and identify the person, obviously the police now have a lead and then they go and they have a suspect in mind. And so they apprehend, arrest the person. But what happens to the orphanage? It goes away. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
I think that if we just look at the orphanage situation and, you know, if we think of the kids that are in there, they have already been through a lot. So taking away the orphanage and the people that they know, it would only make it worse for them. So if I only look at the orphanage, I would let it go. I would not tell police that I know who did it. But I also can't help but think of the people who lost their money. I do know that banks have insurances. If something happens to the money, the insurance will, I guess, compensate the money. But I really don't know how long that takes. So maybe some people have an emergency, right? But their money isn't there. So it could cause unrest and uncertainty for those people. So when I think about that, I would lean towards telling police who it was.
You mentioned how it's not just robbing a bank, an institution, but many people who invest in a bank. So by her robbing a bank, did she just hurt the entity or were many people affected by her actions?
Well, many people were affected by their actions.
Okay. And so that's also something to consider as well. The banks are, and credit unions, like you mentioned, are insured and covered. And so again, here, while maybe the bank might not have ever received their money, maybe this person got away, somehow the bank would be replacing its money or the insurance would be replacing the money's lost and so on. Okay. So there's a thought called utilitarian thought. Would part of your thought processes continue or think about this idea of benefiting the whole, many people versus the one? In other words, if I were not to tell police and identify the one person, my actions by not telling police would have benefited the many over here, meaning the orphanage.
I think that the orphanage definitely does benefit from the money. I just wonder if this action, if it leads to further other individuals that they will also think similarly and they will just cause a string of events. Things just won't be the same in the society.
So you think it would set a wrong precedence
if
we were to excuse her? On that same thought, do you think that the crime of theft can ever be morally justified? And if so, what's an example?
I think it could be morally justified. It would just be really hard.
Okay.
I think the example that comes to my mind right now is the example that an old man, his wife is sick and he can't get the money to buy the pills. And he essentially goes to a pharmacy and he steals the pills or the medication that his wife needs. Then it's such a small thing. It's not really big. So I think that would be morally justifiable, even though he is breaking the law.
So in answer to the question about can theft ever be morally justified, you do say in some circumstances it can. Would you say that he should not be held accountable?
I think the circumstances should be looked at. I guess no one is under the law or over the law, just not very severely.
Could that same analogy be applicable here? Assuming the woman pleads guilty to the crime or is found guilty of the crime, her intentions were not to keep the money, it was to give to the orphanage. Would you also maybe hold her accountable for the crime committed?
Yes.
So what would the sentence be like?
I think I would consider maybe community service or probation. I don't consider prison time or jail time as an option because it's not really a violent crime. Well, assuming it wasn't a violent crime and it was for a good intention. There was no malice behind her intentions. So I don't think that prison or jail would be good. So I think community service or probation would probably be the best.
If there had been a victim, either by injury or death, do you think as a judge you would be merciful or not?
I think not as much. This means that the woman is set on getting this money regardless of if it costs someone's life or an injury.
So as a judge, you would consider that as maybe an aggravating factor?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about justice and mercy. So on the idea of justice, in the scenario of the woman robbing the bank, what is justice for her in this scenario?
I think justice for the people involved would be that she is held accountable for her actions. And I guess justice for her would be to look at the circumstances and see that she didn't have malice, there was no violence involved. So therefore, the consequences and the punishment will not be as severe as it otherwise would have.
What would mercy look like?
Well, I think mercy is tied into justice, you know, not being too severe on her. I think that would be mercy.
So there are some people who sometimes say desperate times call for desperate measures. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is allowable?
I think that anyone could claim, oh, these were desperate measures and they do things.
Could that also lead to lawlessness? The idea that if we allow for desperate measures to just go rampant, then people can resort to different things. Could she have done something else legally to help the orphanage? And if so, what would that look like?
I think she could have worked with the orphanage administration, maybe to open a fundraising event, maybe like a fundraising drive where people donate money, maybe clothes, toys for the kids. I think she could have maybe by herself, not with the orphanage, but opened up, I guess nowadays, people open up GoFundMes so people can donate money towards a cause. So I think maybe she could have done that as well. Or just gone door to door, hey, this orphanage needs help and I'm raising money. Would you like to donate a set amount of dollars?
So assuming that she thought about alternatives and she has met with little consequence, no one willing to help her, and the orphanage closes at 6 p.m., today, do her actions of robbing the bank, would that still be justified, do you think?
I think maybe justified, but not excusable. It wouldn't be a reason to say, oh, you get to get away with this. I still think she would still need to be held accountable.
A question of necessity. As a student in my class and classes have talked about this defense of necessity. It was necessary for her to go into a bank, rob it, not keep the money for myself, but give it to the orphanage, because if it were not for my actions, this orphanage would not exist. So, Your Honor, it was necessary for me to rob the bank. How do you think that argument would fly in front of the judge?
Well, I think judges are people just like all of us, so they definitely might be, the judge may be swayed by the argument. But the judge is also held at a higher standard. The judge's job is to look at the law and hold people accountable according to the law. So I think maybe that might be reason for the judge to lower the sentence, but not necessarily just let her go or not give her any punishments.
I don't know if I had exposed you to some great literary work, Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. In that case, the protagonist, Jean Valjean, the character in the novel, takes bread from a shop that doesn't belong to him, but he has siblings who are starving. Mm-hmm. And so he does it out of necessity to take something that doesn't belong to him because, again, it's for the greater good. He gets caught. Is necessity a defense to him in a court of law?
I think in such a dire situation, yes.
Could he still be held accountable legally?
I think so. I think he could be held accountable, just not to the degree that he was.
Let's just say that back then he had a defense attorney, which he did not. But if he had a defense attorney and the attorney would say, Your Honor, he stole it because, again, it's the children, his little brother and sister, who benefit from that. So it was necessary. Do you think the judge would agree with that position, or necessity is not a defense?
I think maybe the judge would agree with it. And if they wouldn't, I think maybe not a defense, but a reason to ask for a lower sentence.
Okay. Thank you for doing that, because again, I was going to say necessity is not a defense to theft. Mm-hmm. No matter the dire situation, these children who are starving, to go before a judge and say, Your Honor, it was necessary for me to do this, probably would not be supported by a judge. Before we leave necessities, there are two kinds of defenses. Typically, there is the factual defense, which is called alibi, where you can tell a police officer, you're charging me with a crime, but I can establish to you that I wasn't even in the city and I have witnesses, so that person may have an alibi. That's a factual defense. Legal defense is one of justification, like self-defense, and another one is called excuse, which is insanity. Under those legal defenses, necessity pops up. And so I just wonder, when is necessity a defense? If it's not a defense to theft, so when can necessity be a defense to a person?
Well, if you're being held at gunpoint, and or if someone is threatening you with a weapon, there's a clear sign that they will not stop and you yourself have a weapon. I think in that case, you're faced with the necessity to protect yourself.
So let's pretend that you're walking down a sidewalk, okay? And you know your neighbors pretty well, and you see one of your neighbor's house on fire. And as you're walking, you can hear screams coming from the house. In this house, there are occupants who are also children, and you hear the screams and the yelling of the children. Again, the house is burning. While you could go into the house, but you know, as a criminal justice student, okay, that's burglary, that's breaking and entering without permission. Do you think that you would go into the house, rescue them, and if you were to be arrested by police and they're asking you, is this your house? No. Do you think necessity could be a defense for you?
Yes,
in that
definitely
case?
Because it's a life or death situation.
Well, that's one example where necessity can be used as a defense. But when it comes to theft, like in the case of Jean Valjean, even though it's a literary work, but we learn from great literature.
Yes.
There is also the case of the Spelunsian Explorers. That's a fictitious case. There's a Regina versus Dudley Stevens, which was an actual case where, again, they kill the cabin boy. Let me just go to the last point. So in the scenario, it also talks about if she had robbed, what if the woman had instead stolen from just one individual rich person? How does that change?
I think it changes from many individuals affected to simply one. And this individual possibly has a lot more money than the others. So it could be that this individual, the amount of money that she stole, maybe for this individual, it was just pocket money. Or it could be a really great sum that affects this individual. And in that case, legally, when I just look at the legal side, I would still say that I would tell police that I know who it was. But morally, since it's just one person affected, that essentially maybe they're not that affected, I think then I would tell police that I don't know this woman.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is there a crime?
Yes.
And the crime is what?
Robbery.
Okay. So what makes it different for you?
It's the, I guess, the people affected and their circumstances. But in this case, it's one individual, and this individual is rich. So I guess just depending on how much the amount of money it is, maybe, like I said, maybe it does affect this rich individual. Maybe it doesn't affect them as much.
So which one is the greater evil of the two? Her robbing the bank where they have many people who put their money into a bank, ensuring themselves that that's going to be safe, or the individual? Which one is the greater evil, or are they equally the same?
I think they might be equally the same, though I do think that the greater evil is from the bank, simply because the woman could have thought, I'm not just stealing from the bank, I'm stealing from a lot of people.
But would you agree that even if it's the one person, it impacted him?
Of course.
It impacted her, if it were a woman, mm-hmm. who is very, very wealthy. We're coming to the end, and I was just wondering, I've asked many questions, and thank you for your responses. I wonder if you have any questions, and we'll use this opportunity to maybe have you ask me or clarify, what about this hypothetical or something you might have thought differently? Do you have any questions or comments?
When thinking of the third person, if it was the orphanage director, I think the sense of responsibility for that orphanage director to tell police the truth shifts, and it is definitely higher than a person who is just a bystander who happened to know this woman, because the orphanage director is held at a much higher, they have a higher role, they have a higher mm-hmm. responsibility, and they look after these people, these kids.
So again, these moral dilemmas, while it may be called a moral dilemma, we've tried to analyze it both from legal implications mm-hmm. or legal issues and also moral issues or moral implications. Do you think that that's a good way of looking at this particular dilemma?
I think so, because I guess a lot of people could agree that with this woman, even though it was a crime, it was for a good cause, therefore there shouldn't be a punishment, but it is a crime. A crime was still committed.
And people should be held accountable,
right.
should they
mm-hmm.
not, for their actions, because we are a country of laws.
Of course.
You violate the laws, you're held accountable. There are consequences mm-hmm. for our actions. Imagine if there were no consequences for our actions. Then I think we'd have anarchy
right.
and chaos. Mm-hmm. So even though her moral intentions were good, mm-hmm. she still committed a crime.
Yes.
And so she should be held accountable. Mm-hmm. But maybe in a court of law, a judge could maybe consider being merciful by looking at both aggravating circumstances, the bad things that she did, mm-hmm. outweighed by the good things that she did.
Right.
Well, thank you very much for dissecting this moral dilemma and
no, thank you.
Looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.